August 24th, 2015. You made the promise, and I'll quote it here, no veteran will be forced to fight their own government for the support and compensation they have earned. Yet you are still currently in a legal battle with veterans regarding equal support and compensation to their peers. You have ISIL or ISIS members coming into a reintegration program. You did a backdoor deal with Omar Khadr with not even stepping into the courtroom. What veterans were you talking about? Was the ones that fought for the freedoms and values that you so proudly boast about, or was it the ones who fought against? Because honestly, Mr. Prime Minister, I was prepared to be injured in the line of duty when I joined the military. What I wasn't prepared for, Mr. Prime Minister, is Canada turning its back on me.
Why are we still fighting against certain veterans groups in court? Because they are asking for more than we are able to give right now. They are asking for more than we... Well, no. Hang on. You're asking for honest answers.
I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 26th, 2026, and I guarantee you haven't seen that clip in a long time. One of the honors of my life was having a conversation with that veteran in the wake of that clip. And that moment of silence that you heard at the end was just a scrolling list of the various expenses that Trudeau was running at the time. But this is important and relevant today, because back then, that clip was taken about 2018. National debt in this country was roughly $671 billion, which is a big enough problem. But as of early 2026, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.29 to $1.47 trillion. No one really knows. It's too big a number to count, and Mark Carney is piling on the deficit spending. I said at the beginning of this year, and in the first projection that the Prime Minister gave of their spending, that they would be north of a $100 billion deficit by the time it was all done. And I guarantee you, one of the few guarantees I'll give you is that by the end of this, if they don't use some kind of mathematical charade, we will be another $100 billion in debt by the end of this year. And the fact is, we have money for all kinds of nonsense, as you're going to see. But to this day, we still don't have money to sufficiently pay veterans. In fact, we're nickel and diming them to death. And I'm not going to show you the documentation, because if you actually care about this, you will check out the work of the Royal Canadian Legion. You'll check out the National Council of Veterans Associations. Figures like Sean Bruyer, Bruyea, he's a prominent veterans advocate. The government has introduced changes to how it takes care of veterans, but they amount to nickel and diming them out of their benefits. That's what we do to our military people. We put them in barracks that are filled with forever chemicals that are slowly killing them. We paint rainbow sidewalks and we humiliate them by making them raise their feet whenever they drive over them. We force mandatory DEI training. We've got money for all of that. We leave them without sufficient munitions. We humiliate them by sending them into exercises with our allies, now apparently our enemies. We're our strategic adversary, as Mark Carney identified as China, but now they're our allies. We have them operating police stations. We have training their troops for Arctic warfare so they can more easily take us over. And we're thumbing our noses at the Americans every chance we get. But the Americans are supposed to be our natural ally in NATO. And we send our forces to train with them with insufficient blank ammunition so they have to run around in the woods yelling, bang! And as our government subjects our people to these various humiliation rituals and then leaves them to struggle with less and less after they've done their service, here we have this from just a couple days ago. Carney pledges sanctions and $2 billion for Ukraine 4 years after full-scale invasion. We have another $2 billion for Ukraine, and there will be other funding announcements, by the way. We're more than happy to kill and encourage the killing of masses of Ukrainian men just to keep this war going. We're willing to denude our military. We're willing to send our treasure over there borrowed, but we don't have enough money to take care of our people. And the other thing that bothers me is the wording. The full-scale invasion, that choice of term. Back before everybody was told that the most important thing they could do was put a Ukrainian flag in their bio and we must support Ukraine with all our time and treasure, by all parties in Parliament, by the way, we, to the point where, you know, one of the things about the State of the Union, the other thing that happened is they brought American war heroes, Trump brought American war heroes in to celebrate them. And you could pick that apart if you want. You could pick apart the American role at the end of the war and preserving a lot of elements of the Nazi regime. We can do that. But the fact of the matter is, these men had nothing to do with the machinations of their government. And they went to war and they fought and they get celebrated and they get recognized. They get recognition for it. And there's no doubt that even though there's still problems in the United States, they take far better care of their people than we take care of ours. We brought a Ukrainian neo-Nazi to our parliament and gave him a standing ovation. Now, this is back when some members of the Conservative caucus still had an ounce of courage before the PR people took over, and there was the slow clapping debacle at the very earliest, before the controversy truly broke. One of the early criticisms that only lasted an hour was that the Conservatives weren't applauding this neo-Nazi with enough vigor. Maybe they knew something we didn't, and maybe you can criticize them for standing up and applauding the guy. But that's what we do in contrast with what the Americans do. Another $2 billion. Ukraine is the most corrupt government. It is a totalitarian government. There's no freedom of the press. They haven't had elections. They will not have elections. Zelensky is under investigation for corruption. He's had some of his people around him arrested. And Canada is just getting deeper and deeper in bed with this regime, which is horrible to its people. It's literally killing its young people off in a war that doesn't have to be fought. A realistic peace agreement could be signed anytime. It's Europe that keeps the war going, and they're gaslighting and lying when they blame Russia for it. Now, there was a time when the media told some truth when it came to Ukraine, and that was before the direct Russian invasion. And we had reports from United Nations organizations, human rights organizations. I've covered them in depth on this channel. You can probably search my video content just for the word Ukraine, and you'll find the information about what the regime of Zelensky, which we installed, by the way, the West installed, NATO installed in 2014 when there was a government in Ukraine that was duly elected and we didn't like them. So we overthrew them and installed the party that Zelensky now leads. But even in the wake of that coup, we still told the truth on occasion about the cultural and ethnic cleansing that was going on in eastern Ukraine at the time. Because this government was trying to stomp out the Orthodox Russian Church, was trying to stomp out Russian culture, was trying to get rid of the language, and basically destroy these people's identities. They were shelling civilians, they were doing all sorts of horrible things in eastern Ukraine, and we used to talk about that. And then, after 8 years of nonsense, the Russians finally got involved, and there are people who say it's a full-scale invasion, like CTV right here. Whereas NATO has inserted itself in many nations' business over the course of time. We turn to Libya. Gaddafi was the person and the figure that was holding the three tribes that dominate Libya together. We went in. We killed him. We had boots on the ground. We don't talk about that. It wasn't just a bombing campaign. There were special forces operational in Libya that enabled the takedown of Gaddafi. And now it is a nightmare. It is not the most advanced country in Africa anymore. It's a nightmare with human slave markets. That's a NATO legacy. What we did in Syria, Assad held the nation together. The Christians, the Druze, and all of the various peoples who lived there had a chance to live together because of the government that was set up. The whole country is artificial. If you want to go over and do a geopolitical breakdown of how artificial the borders in the Middle East are, we could do that. That's a whole other story. But Assad was removed. Rebellions against him were funded. And now, Christians are getting mass slaughtered in Syria, and we have put an ISIS man in charge. That's NATO for you. That's what the CIA likes. That's what the British like. That's their plan. What was done in Iraq? Saddam Hussein, whether you liked him or not, kept the tribes of Iraq together. We removed him, and Iraq is a nightmare for its own people, and it's not friendly to the West. They're doing official drives to sign up volunteers to go fight to defend Iran. Once upon a time, Iraq and Iran were enemies. And we did so much damage that we drove Iraq to them. And all of these countries, by the way, are far away from the North Atlantic. Anybody that tells you that NATO is a defensive alliance, they're just not telling you the truth. It's not ignorance. It's a deliberate lie. It's a talking point. It's a neocon, neoliberal talking point. And now, even though it's going to be America largely on its own outside of NATO, we're looking at doing the same thing in Iran. And Iran's a different beast. It's a civilization in waiting. It's largely Persian, but I don't want to, I'm getting distracted already. Back to Ukraine. We don't tell the truth about it anymore. We just keep dumping money into this illegal, ill-constituted government that is in control there and is literally engaged in the mass slaughter of its own people to keep its own power in play, because it's not about winning the war. Ukraine can't win the war. It's certainly not about preserving the lives of Ukrainians. They're the ones doing the suffering. They're the ones doing the dying, particularly in the East, where people predominantly identify with the Russians and not Western Ukraine. This is a problem with artificial borders. But that's one thing that Canada has all kinds of money for. It's keeping the war going, keeping Ukraine going, while they're trying to take peaceful, lawful gun owners' firearms here in Canada. And at one point, they were going to steal your property, and they were going to give it to Ukraine. And Ukraine is so addicted and so used to basically dictating what kind of welfare they get that in spite of the fact that they signal to the world that their need is dire at all times, there's also the fact that a lot of the weapons that we divert to Ukraine end up sold on the black market, and we're going to have to deal with those consequences over the course of time. When Canada said, we're going to steal the people's firearms, we'll give them all to Ukraine. Ukraine said, no. They're too backwards. They're not good for military applications. At the same time as the government of Canada wants you to believe that the rifles that they're stealing, that's what it is, it's theft, the rifles that they're stealing are military grade, assault style, even though a lot of them are just hunting rifles. Another regime that Canada has got money for, as we rob our veterans and we have our own problems and starving people and we're running a $100 billion deficit, we're printing money recklessly, even though we're supposedly not in a crisis, as capital flees the country. As Doug Ford dumps out Crown Royal and takes a leak right on a company that's already struggling, and we'll talk about that, Cuba running on fumes as Canada considers sending relief what amounts to an oil blockade poses unprecedented threat to the ruling party's grip. What amounts to an oil blockade is a threat to the ruling party's grip. The choice of headline and the way that they frame this, the ruling party of Cuba, the Castros, and the extended family around them are rich. They live like kings. Most of their wealth is stored outside of Cuba. People don't know this. They never miss a meal. They do fine for themselves. It's the Cuban people who suffer. And while we are readying $8 million in food aid to Cuba as humanitarian crisis deepens, the article is short on details as to what guarantees it will just be food aid and where that money's going to go. Cuba is a backwards nation getting more backwards. And the interesting thing is, one of the things that happened yesterday, it kind of derailed what it was I was doing, sent me down a rabbit hole, was a friend of mine, a longtime friend. There's a fellow on Twitter who's really upset with me. He really likes to talk about himself, and he's like, I don't like your anecdotes, man. I don't care. I'm trying to build a relationship of trust, a relationship of reality. You know that when you tune into my show, when you tune into me, it's real. Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether you agree, whether you disagree, it's real. And I'm not here to blow smoke up your backside. I'm not here to lie to you. The friend is real. Friend that I trust. Sending me pictures of his recent walkabout on the island of Cuba. Sent me a picture of a shed It's what it should be, a tin shed. I've got two falling down sheds in my house with leaky roofs, and they need some money and time that I don't have, but they're there. This shed was in worse shape than my sheds. And he informs me that a family lived there. That was just one of the pictures he sent me. There's many more. There's no doubt. It's incontestable that the Ukrainian, or sorry, well, you could say many of the same things about Ukraine. The Cuban regime has done very well for itself. Well, its people have suffered. And yet here we are, a nation that is on its way to broke, like Canada. We had the parliamentary budget officer, remember, saying you're going to be subsistence hunting just to survive eating squirrels, and that the country would be bankrupt in 18 months or less, not years, but a year and a bit, maybe, if we continue down the path that we are on. That's what Carney's appointed guy told you. Well, Mark Carney and Stephen Harper are out there telling you that there's no sacrifice too great. You're going to have to tighten your belts, get used to higher taxes, lower service quality, if you can imagine that, a lower standard of living on an ongoing basis, and there's no sacrifice too great to save this nation. They're telling you you're going to suffer. They got $2 billion for Ukraine. They got $8 million to Cuba. Global Affairs Canada is still funneling billions of dollars. You know, one of the contrasts in the State of the Union, and by the way, I'm going to pause there for a minute, because it was brought up a couple times that after the Epstein debacle, you can never forgive the president. I'm right with you. I don't know why they're choosing to cover this up, but that's exactly what they're doing. The British have arrested and charged two people. The Americans have arrested and charged nobody. There's resignations. People know they're guilty. They partook of Epstein's services and his honeypot operation. For some reason, it's being stonewalled. And of course, Trump didn't talk about it in the State of the Union, because the only thing that he keeps saying is everybody needs to forget about this hoax. It wasn't a hoax. It was one of the biggest intelligence operations in the history of intelligence. And it was dirty. It was seedy. It was perverse. And we need justice on that. And it doesn't change anything. The things that I'm saying about other aspects of the State of the Union. But at least the administration is actually trying to take down fraud and calling out the fraudulent abuse, talking about Somali pirates in no uncertain terms and taking apart USAID, which set alarm bells off in Canada, because a lot of that treasure, in addition to the trade surplus that we benefit from the United States, they're also, or they were, engaged in sending U.S. tax dollars into programs that Canada funds overseas, our pet projects. And so we were upset with that, and we offered to step into the gap, even though we don't have any money, to keep the fraud cycle alive. At least the Americans are trying to do something about it. Meanwhile, here in Canada, Canadian HELOC debt climbs to $179 billion, highest level since 2019. People didn't even lean on their home equity loans as hard during COVID. Home equity debt sitting at roughly $179.5 billion, highest level in nearly 6 years, again, skipping that whole 2021 period. It's breaking upwards. Annual growth is accelerating with some minor seasonal variance. HELOC balances have climbed 3.85%, which is ahead of the CPI, which is, it's like there's the inflation problem. There's the fake inflation number problem. But then you have to realize that if you're in debt, whether you have a mortgage, you have credit card debt, auto debt, because it notes here as well, credit use is rising with consumer and lender confidence, fueling consumption. I don't believe we're confident at all. I think people are broke. After all, when times are good, both groups are confident in the outlook and ability to repay debts. That's not what's happening now. Today's conditions resemble the investor-fueled borrowing seen in 2017. At the time, regulators flagged the issue largely concentrated in Greater Toronto. So if people are, see, 2017, you had that bull run in crypto. And that was where the bull run in real estate valuations was accelerating to its 2022 peak. People are speculating, they're buying second properties, they're dumping all their money into crypto. But there's also the fact that people just can't afford to live. So they're leaning on borrowing now just to survive. And so on top of the inflation is the interest you have to pay on the money that you are making, where wages are not keeping up with either of those things. I mean, the bottom line is people are getting screwed in a very compounding way in this country while we're giving millions to Cuba, while we're giving billions to Ukraine, while we're still funding Global Affairs Canada, shipping treasure overseas. We could save tens and tens of billions of dollars if we just cut the foreign aid. I've been meaning to bring this forward for a while. Like, I could literally do a three-hour show every single day. I would have no time for anything else, and I don't think I have enough of an audience to warrant such a long show, but government announces 30-year amortizations for insured mortgages and to put home ownership in reach for millennials and Gen Z. Just take the spin out of it. This is actually from July 29, 2024. There was a lot of controversy from the left and from Canadians when Donald Trump decided to roll out 30-year mortgages for Americans. There was all this commentary at the time, and I wish I had found the time to actually address the fact that Canada rolled it out first. It's a clever way of hiding the financial problems that people are in by burying them under even more debt. Because a 30-year mortgage just means you're paying that much more in interest. You're getting robbed that much more, especially when you add in and factor in inflation. Here's another thing. Because we talk about Olympics for a while now. 15 of the 21 medals were our athletes. These private investors are bankrolling Team Canada's Olympic champions. So after these people, these Canadian companies, pay their taxes, get taxed to death by the Canadian government, they're picking up the tab for our Olympic team, because this is just one of those things. We got money for Cuba. But here's another headline: system in decline. Olympic officials press Ottawa for more sports funding. So I think sports funding is down the bottom of the list. You've got veterans. You've got a homeless crisis. You've got a national debt we need to do something about. You have reckless spending by all of the Eastern governments. You have a denuded military. You have capital flight. You have Doug Ford committed to burying Diageo. Here's another article. Diageo shares plunge most in 2 years on weaker guidance dividend cut. The bottom line, the summary of this article, which I read through, is people are drinking less. They either can't afford it or they just don't want to deal with hangovers. Young people don't drink as much as they used to. I would say they can't afford it because I don't know if you've noticed, but booze is pretty inflated in price. Beer is almost a rich man's game these days. I go to the store sometimes. I think about picking up some beer. A six-pack of Modelo is 22 Canadian. What? And I know, people have said Modelo is fancy beer. Is it? Is Modelo really a fancy beer? I know it's an import. Go to a domestic supplier. I like Great Western. Fantastic beer. I'm not complaining about their business practices, their product, or even the price they're forced to charge for it. Because we do have minimum pricing schemes in Canada. You can't go below a certain threshold. If you're lucky, you can get 24 cans on sale after you pay a deposit and everything for maybe $50. But most of the time, you're paying upwards of $60. I can't swing that most of the time. So what? So I can drink 6, 8, 10 of them and just have a hangover? And I mean, I would like it, but it's just, it's these things are these normal things that were taken for granted for so long in our society are being completely pushed out of reach. So anyway, back to the point. Diageo is a British company. These are the people who are responsible for Crown Royal and these so-called Canadian brands that Doug Ford is targeting, even though they have nothing to do with the United States. They're having business problems. One of the reasons they wanted to move the bottling facility in Ontario to the United States was because that bottling facility bottled booze for the United States. So it made more sense. Send it down there, save the shipping cost. I don't know. I know oil is cheap right now, but a lot of the other costs that are associated with transport, the rates that mechanics charge, the amount of money it costs to buy parts and maintenance, the drivers and the insurance that's going up because we have all of these dangerous drivers we're just turning loose inside of semi-trucks. They hit people, creates problems for the insurance industry. That's where your cost increases are coming from, or at least some of them. There's a lot of problems for a business trying to manage itself while it's facing declining sales. So they want to reorganize. So Doug Ford's response was, if you reorganize, we'll just remove all of your product from all of our store shelves, which will directly impact the making and bottling of booze for the domestic market, because you're going to deny them market access. So inadvertently, or I mean, deliberately. Because let's face it, everything Doug Ford is doing is deliberate destruction. He's not an idiot. It's a mistake to think that Mark Carney's an idiot. It's a mistake to think that Doug Ford is an idiot. Maybe they're useful idiots. They know they're reaping destruction. They know the economy is falling apart around them. The only thing you have to ask yourself is why. Why are they doing it? It's not just to get rich for themselves. It's not just personal empowerment. There's a bigger strategy that's unfolding in their deliberate planned destruction in the name of saving the country. Telling you you're going to suffer in the name of saving the country, well, everything they're doing is actually further weakening the country. If you can see through the smoke and mirrors, you come to understand this. Diageo's in trouble, and Doug Ford wants to make it even harder for them. And this is why Capital Flight. Back to the games. We don't even have money to fund our Olympic athletes, and that's why our medal count is in the toilet. Think we're competing with Japan and China? I think we were stuck right in between the last time I checked. It's not that important to me. I know it's important to a lot of people. But we got money for Cuba. We got money for Ukraine. We got money to buy condoms in Nigeria. We got tens and tens of billions of dollars for Global Affairs Canada. And none of that spending is on the chopping block. They're not talking about ending any of it. They're cutting the public sector, firing 15% of the workforce. That's their aim. They've broken the tax collection system. Now, that's a weird one. You think, well, you're spending all of this money, you would want a stronger CRA if you're the government. Instead, through starting with CERB and starting with all those business loans, and now they made this great big mess. The Liberals made this mess. Again, the Liberal government that's in power today is the exact same one that was under Trudeau. Because people will say, watching that the beginning clip with Trudeau, Trudeau's not prime minister anymore. It doesn't matter. It's the exact same government. Just because you swapped a useful idiot out, because that's what Trudeau was, very useful idiot, very narcissistic, useful idiot, you swap him out and you put in the central banking Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, heavy hitter, Brookfield guy to deconstruct the country, to get his hooks in your pensions, to use the money printer to advance his will. And maybe that's the magic of the scheme, because you would think a government would want a strong Canada Revenue Agency to extract maximum value out of the public, but they've actually weakened the CRA. Maybe they think, because you got a central banker in control, they can just print their way out of everything, because they don't care how much of the value in your pocket they hyperinflate. People are either taking their capital out of the country or they're parking their capital in assets that will preserve their value because they know the Canadian government is going to hyperinflate your savings away. Your pensions, your purchasing power, evaporating. The only people who are going to win are the ones that are holding assets. They might not even win. They might just hold their value. It's insane to me. They're cutting the public service. They're telling you that service cuts are coming. Mark Carney said that very recently. Tax increases and service cuts. If he triggers an election, if he doesn't have a couple more CPC MPs in his pocket, which he very well might. I published a list of a half dozen names months ago. Three of them have crossed the floor. The softest ones are still sitting there. He parks them right in front in Parliament. And it's bait. It's to encourage the ones, the remaining center-left nonsense that's invaded the CPC. It's to encourage them and entice them. It's not meant to mock. It's meant to show, hey, these three did it. You can do it too. And we don't have to go into an election. We can just get our majority. And with that majority, we can cut social services. We can increase taxation. In the midst of you being told you're going to suffer, this is the bottom line. No one's talking about cutting foreign aid. No one's talking about ending the money flow to Ukraine or to Cuba or to any other number of causes in the world that we're funding fruitlessly. The funding isn't leading to any lasting change. It's just money borrowed in your name and shipped overseas. We're funding a massive gun grab against the Canadian public. The most legal, lawful members of the Canadian public, going to cost a massive amount of money and treasure, doesn't lead anywhere. They're in the midst of cutting the legs out from under every single citizen of this country. After 40 years of getting screwed, you're going to get it harder. In the meantime, there's not even a whisper of cutting the money flows overseas. Did you know that I have a website? frankvaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.